All right, boys and girls, here we go. Another podcast adventure. It is Monday morning, November 18th. A rather gloomy, stereotypical Monday morning, but that's okay. We have the John DeBella Show daily podcast here for you. What did we talk about today? Well, you'll hear, but this is your little primer. Nicolas Cage is coming out with a movie about Nicolas Cage. We shared four random facts with Cindy Graham, talked the box office bomb over the weekend before Song Stories. The turkey drop is coming up, and John made a heartfelt plea today for that. Then it was drummer time. Max Weinberg, of course, the E Street Band drummer, and Conan, late night drummer for the now defunct Conan O'Brien show. We had a great long chat with him, and you can hear it in its entirety in his separate podcast here on the website. But there's two nifty little edits in here for the daily podcast. This is what we played on the morning show today for you. But yeah, like I said, if you want to hear the whole shebang, it was a great chat. We learned about how he came to become the E Street Band drummer. There was a lot of nerdy musician talk between John, Max, and I. Sorry, Steve. We got into the weeds of drummerdom, but sticking to the daily podcast here, we had Thin the Herd, of course, as it's a Monday morning, and this is what it all sounded like. Here we go. It is the Daily Podcast.
I got to tell you something. This has brilliant written all over it.
All right.
Lionsgate is said to be the front runner in negotiations to pick up the unbearable weight of massive talent. The movie will feature Nicolas Cage starring as himself.
I love this.
All right. Now,
this what's that title again?
This is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's a story about Nicolas and his desperate how desperate he is to land a role in a new Quentin Tarantino movie while dealing with a strange relationship with his daughter. Thrown in are conversations that he reportedly has had with the 90s version of Nicolas Cage, where he gives himself crap for not being a movie star anymore.
Sounds incredible.
And making too many crappy movies.
Oh, boy.
And then, of course, there's debt, a Mexican billionaire, the CIA, a kidnapping, several nods to movies throughout his career. I mean, come on, it can't be any worse than Valley Girl.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right.
Or, this is a lot more exciting than being John Malkovich, I'll tell you that much.
Or Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
All right, you know, or anything like this.
Coming to theaters, it's the Nicolas Cage biopic, starring Nicolas Cage as Nicolas Cage. You'll love watching Nicolas Cage as a young man.
So do you have a date for the prom yet?
Oh, Nicolas Cage!
So you don't? You do? Just forget it.
See Nicolas Cage as an adult.
Hey, are you Nicolas Cage?
No, Nicolas Cage!
You aren't? Okay, well, I'm gonna go.
And even see Nicolas Cage as an old man.
So you do want some more applesauce? Okay, just forget it.
The Nicolas Cage Movie, starring Nicolas Cage as Nicolas Cage, coming to theaters.
I mean, how could Tarantino turn him down?
John DeBella.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine.
102.9 MGK. And now it's time for
random
facts.
1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, Cindy, get us rolling.
All right, clocks run clockwise because that's the direction shadows would move around a sundial.
Okay.
At least in the northern hemisphere where clocks were developed.
Yeah, well, like, screw those people in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, totally.
Right. They needed a clock. They should have invented it themselves.
Really?
What do you got, Steve?
Samoa and American Samoa are less than 80 miles apart, but since they're on opposite sides of the international date line, the time zones are 24 hours apart.
That's so if I travel 80 miles, right, it's what, tomorrow?
Correct.
Wow.
That's like it's Tuesday at the GSB building.
Okay.
And it's Monday here.
All right, what do you got?
This one's interesting. Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr worked together as defense attorneys in America's first murder trial in 1800. 4 years later, Burr killed Hamilton in a duel.
Who was his lawyer?
Who was his lawyer?
Right. Obviously not Hamilton.
That's a good question. Yeah, certainly not.
And lastly this morning, Aerosmith has 21 singles that made the top 40, but only one of them got to number one, and that was...
I remember that one. There it is again.
Oh, there it is again. I didn't know what happened to it there. All right. Don't want to miss a thing from Armageddon. They probably had a little help on this one. What do you think, Desmond Child? Should we check on that?
Yeah, look.
Wouldn't doubt it.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm an idiot.
Has everyone gone nuts?
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
Two movie stories. One is, did you hear about Charlie's Angels?
No.
All right, Charlie's Angels, $40 million to produce.
Okay.
$8 million raised.
Oh, no.
I didn't even know it was released.
Yeah. Well, I guess the rest of the world finally found out that, what's her name? Kristen?
Grumpy Face. Yeah, Kristen Grumpy the Grump Face.
Kristen Stewart? The Grump Face. Kristen Stewart?
Oh. No.
All right. She can't act. All right. But speaking of movies and people who can act, there is a new film coming out called Knives Out, which is kind of like almost like Clue from what I saw in the trailer. Daniel Craig is in it. Who else is in it?
Christopher Plummer, Chris Evans, who's Captain America, Jamie Lee Curtis, Toni Collette, Anna de Armas. Michael Shannon.
It goes on and on.
A-list Clue is what this is.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, we've got a screening of the film, and if you would like to be there, it's this Wednesday night, correct?
Correct,
this
yes.
Wednesday night at 7:30 at the Ritz East, and it'll be in theaters next weekend. But if you want to see it ahead of time and you got somebody to take, we've got pairs of tickets for you. So why don't you call us right now, 215-263-WMGK.
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Back in 1982, Mark Knopfler finds this picture of a kid playing a guitar in the subway, and it inspires him to write Walk of Life. All right, here's Mark explaining that.
The fact that he turned his face to the wall to get a bigger sound, I like that. When I was a kid playing electric guitar, I didn't have an amplifier, but I had the solid body electric guitar, so I used to put the head like against the leg of the chair to make it louder and put my head down on the guitar so it would sound louder. That was after having destroyed the family radio, blown the thing up. Many a tape recorder's gone west via a guitar.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Yeah, my chum John.
102.9.
Man, it is incredible.
MGK.
Oh, how did you do that?
You know, and this is going to get a little political for a moment. Don't touch the dial. I'm not talking politics at all. All right, but I just want you to understand where I'm going. I mean, with all of the division in this country, it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you're pro or anti-Trump, there isn't any reason not to support people in need. And that is the reason why we do the turkey drop every year. I mean, one out of every four people in this city lives below the poverty line. And these are not people who are looking for a handout. These are people with jobs who just can't make all the ends meet. And that's why we do this. That's why I've been doing this for 37 years here in Philadelphia. It started because I saw an ad in the Inquirer. And since then, it has just grown and grown and grown. It is the largest one day. It's not even a day. It's a three-hour food collection where we usually get around 10,000 turkeys to help City Team Ministries with. So many people are coming through to help us. Acme Markets comes through. Parks Casino comes through. Dietz and Watson comes through. But what we really depend on are you folks. And folks, this year, I mean, the need is bigger than it has ever been before. And you would think with like, well, we got 3% unemployment, the economy is kicking ass.
Yep.
Why are these people in this situation? Because the economy isn't kicking ass for everybody. All right. And no matter where you stand on any topic, there is no reason not to help these people out. So please, this year, we're a week away. It's next Tuesday. We'll be broadcasting live from the Kimmel Center. All of this goes to City Team Ministries, who not only hands it out, you know, to their people, they hand it out to other organizations. They're a filtering point that hands it out to schools and soup kitchens and anywhere food is needed, and they need it from us. So please join us this week. We will be at a dozen different Acme locations in Havertown on Westchester Pike, on Red Lion Road in Northeast Philly, in Flower Town on Bethlehem Pike, in Audubon, New Jersey on the Black Horse Pike, because we just want to go every place where it says Pike. All right, so please do what you can. If you can't make it to one of the locations, donations? Well, make a secure online donation through WMGK.com. We got a challenge earlier this morning from a listener who said, hey, I'm donating 102.9 pounds of turkey. I said, how did you work that out? He said, well, basically, it's five turkeys. Right? You know, so maybe you could do that. Maybe it's just one. Maybe you got a coupon. You could mail it into us or drop it off at any of the Acme locations that we're going to be at. But please, do what you can. This is beyond politics. This is about hungry. And there is no reason in this world, where especially in this country, where people should go hungry. More details are sitting there at WMGK.com for you.
John DeBella.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
102.9 MGK.
Friday, as I told you earlier, as we were walking out of here, we get this call that says, Max Weinberg would like to talk to you about his show at City Winery. City Winery, he'll be there Wednesday night at doing his Max Weinberg's Jukebox Show. Tickets are available through citywinery.com. So we said, yeah, sure, have him call. Unfortunately, it was after we got off the air, so we had to tape the call. And Max is a truly interesting guy. And this is part of the conversation. We're going to do this in two parts today. And this is Max. Well, just as we get started. Now, before we get into the Jukebox Show, I've got to warn you, right? Well, Steve doesn't play any musical instruments. Dave still plays drums. I'm a former drummer, so we got to be careful where this goes, or we could be talking skins for hours.
Right. Well, we'll steer it away from talking about drumming, and I guess just focusing on my drumming.
Okay, that's perfect. That's perfectly fine. But I do want to ask you this: were you always a drum workshop guy, or what drums did you start out with?
Well, Ludwig, of course.
Ringo,
of course. Yeah.
Ringo,
naturally, okay, guys, yes. Of course. How did you get into the habit of constantly staring at Bruce in a show, whether he's in front of you, behind you? When did you start doing that, and what is the reason for it?
Well, I started doing that immediately after I screwed up at the Bottom Line in August of 1975. I wasn't looking at Bruce. I happened to be looking at a young lady who was in the first row, you know, club, and he gave a cue to stop, and I didn't stop. I didn't ever do that again, I can tell you that. We had a discussion about that. So the idea is, you know, you've got to hook up to his energy and wherever he could go. The only thing you can be really sure of is that you're not really sure ever of what he's going to do.
Uh-huh.
So the drummer in any band, whether it's me or any a jazz band, really is the sort of underpinning, the architecture music lays on top of. So if you mess up on the drums, it sounds like you're dropping the kitchen sink down the stairs. So my thing of watching Bruce is I'm in a space where things are happening almost simultaneously, where he'll be conceiving of something, transmitting it to me kind of subtly even, and I'll pick it up because I'm so finely attuned to his vibrations, if you'll allow me that term, you know. The same kind of focus that any sort of high-level endeavor would require is what we do. And it's particularly a function of the drummer or, in hockey, the goalie. When the action is in your zone, you can't let up for a second. So the analogies to sports are actually pretty appropriate because it's like that.
So how do these jukebox shows work? Are they actually, are people like making requests? What's going on?
Well, that's exactly what they do. They call out requests in real time. The idea is, you know, there's so many tribute bands out there, and I love them because they keep the music alive when so many of the groups are not playing anymore. This is kind of a tribute, if you will, to the era in which I grew up and the songs that I listened to, which coincidentally, I think it's the best era of rock and roll, 50s, 60s, 70s. And we have a video screen that projects about 350 songs. And I'll come out and I'll play a couple songs and I'll tell people what to expect, but they just call out the songs. And I go, what do you want to hear? Why do you want to hear that? Oh, I see. They played Wonderful Tonight at your prom. That's what you want to hear. So there'll be little stories told back and forth. Sometimes a song we're going to play or that they ask us to play spark a memory in me, and I'll just spontaneously talk about, you know, how maybe I lifted the drum part, for example, for Candy's Room from Painted Black by the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
And, you know, we drummers, we pass these things along. But the middle section of Candy's Room, is painted black, and it just works.
We're going to have to play those back-to-back to pay attention to
it
now.
I'm curious now.
You know, if I was at the show, and Davey would probably do the same thing, I would just be calling out drummer songs. You know, like, first thing, when you said calling
Hopper
out
songs. Teacher!
Wipe out!
Right, I'd go glad all over.
We play it.
See,
it's in the mix.
It's in the mix. All right.
And by the way, if we don't know it, we'll fake it. But that's a Jersey. That's really a Jersey thing. You got to learn how to fake songs. I really enjoy this because I get to put on my Ringo Starr hat, my Charlie Watts hat, my Dave Clark hat, my Lavona Helm hat.
Well, let's hear this comparison of the Rolling Stones and Bruce Springsteen, Paint It Black and Candy's Room. It's the middle section we're supposed to be paying attention to. And then more with Max Weinberg. For the most part, he's using that Charlie Watts beat through the majority of the song. Once he gets to the We Kiss, My Heart, Pumping in My Brain, once he gets there, that's what he starts that Charlie Watts Painted Black beat.
It sticks around for a while.
And it sticks around with the exception of the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da snare part.
Right, the snare fill.
Right, right. Whenever he's playing, it's the Charlie Watts beat.
Even the bass is similar. The way it's going up and down, up and down.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
All right. Well, we'll have more with Max coming up at 8:20 this morning. And how his very first gig happened to be in our area. The very first gig Max ever played was at The Main Point.
Crazy.
In 1974, the one that everybody talks about. Yep. That was his first gig with the band. On Friday, when we were leaving the station, just as we were getting ready to go home, we get this call that says, hey, you want to talk to Max Weinberg? He's going to be at City Winery next week. And we went, sure. Right. But obviously, we're already off the air. But we figured, hey, we could tape it. Right. He will be at City Winery this Wednesday night. Tickets are available through citywinery.com. And part of the conversation was basically how he got in the band. And I asked him that very thing. Speaking of bands, how did you end up in the E Street Band?
Just lucky, I guess. Let me see. I was 23 years old. I was living at home with my parents. I was playing in a Broadway show, the drums in the show Godspell.
Oh,
which
sure.
Had that hit Day by Day in New York.
Right. Which is all in flats. That song is all in flats. Day by Day.
Yeah, well, I'm a drummer. I don't hold with chords or melody. But I was living home. I was going to college, Seton Hall University. I was playing a lot of club dates. And one of the bands I was in, two of the guys had auditioned for this guy Springsteen on piano. And about a month after they did that, one of them said to me, you know, they're still looking for a drummer. And I didn't know they were looking for a drummer, you know. But I saw the ad. They gave me the ad. And I called them up. I went down in August of 74, and I played. And, you know, you can tell in a couple of seconds if there's some kind of chemistry. And there was major chemistry. And one of the things that I really noticed about that first night, the night I met Bruce and the E Street Band, was, you know, he was obviously an incredible band leader. But it was the way that the guys who were there, which was Clarence Clemons, Dan Federici, and Gary Talent, the three of them, were focused in on Bruce. The level of discipline and focus that was immediately evident in the first couple of minutes. And that was very impressive. I'd never seen that before where, you know, there was one person sort of driving the thing and everybody was just focused in on what he was doing. So, you know, I wanted in that first night. I found out later that something like 65 drummers auditioned.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And everybody, no matter how bad you were, got a half hour to play. And there were a couple of name drummers who went down there, I found out later. But everybody got a half hour. And that first night, we played for 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that that was the longest they'd played with anybody. I was having a great time. You know, I had nothing at stake. I was just playing. And, and I thought I did pretty well. Actually, I thought I did pretty well because it was on the fourth floor of a rehearsal studio on 54th Street in New York City. And I had to carry my drums up these four stairs.
Oh, God.
Stairs because the elevator was out. After the 3 hours when I packed up, Bruce helped me carry the drums downstairs.
Oh, cool.
You know, and he told me he had two records out on Columbia Records, and they had one song recorded for, you know, what would hopefully be his third record, and that song was Born to Run.
Oh, my Lord.
So they gave me a copy of that and said, learn this.
What was the first gig you did?
Actually, the very first gig I did was at the Main Point outside of Philly and I guess near Villanova. Yeah, it was the very first night I played, which was about 10 days after I got in the band. We rehearsed for about 10 days and played the Main Point. And that was an incredible night because that was one of the real popular places he played.
Sure.
And,
that club, if you packed it, you were lucky. You would push maybe about 300 people inside. But somehow, a million people say they were there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but finally, we can believe one of them.
I was there. Actually, I was there, and I had the best seat in the house, to tell you the truth, which I've continued for 45 years. It really is the best seat in the house.
So let's go back to September 19th, 1974. A song that was originally called Angelina became Wings for Wheels, and eventually we all learned it as Thunder Road. Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK, live from the Main Point.
The John DeBella Podcast.
What is wrong with my radio? There's nothing wrong with your radio, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is here because we have Mickey Mouse engineering. That's what it is.
102.9 MGK.
Send a herd.
So it is possible that this guy got dressed in the morning intentionally trying to be ironic. There's a 38-year-old guy named David Rasmussen, right, in Oklahoma City, and he and a friend were busted on Tuesday trying to steal an ATV from someone's home. And David was wearing a shirt that said, "Ain't nothing illegal until you get caught."
Nice. Okay.
Well, since he did get caught, he was arrested. And when the cops searched his property, they found out that he had stolen a lot more stuff, which, based on the shirt, was now officially illegal. He was charged with 6 counts of possession of stolen property, second-degree burglary, engaging in a pattern of criminal behavior, and more. And it also turned out that the guy he was stealing the ATV with was a wanted fugitive from Texas. So he got hit with a bunch of charges also.
In the herd.
Over to you, Steve.
52-year-old John Earl Picard got pulled over near Tampa, Florida on Sunday night while driving 90 miles per hour in a 55 zone. The cops asked him why he was speeding. He immediately blurted out that he had to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. I gotta get home. I'm cheating on my wife, damn it. The cops thought, or he apparently thought the cops would give him a break for some reason, but they did not. Instead, they searched his car, they searched him, and they found a small crack bag in his front pocket.
Yikes.
He freely admitted that he bought the crack for $50, so now he has a speeding ticket, 1 count of felony drug possession, and most likely a divorce coming up as well. It's all public record, so his wife knows exactly where he was at, and he's due in court next month.
In the herd.
Over to you, Dave.
All right, I think we can agree it's noble to try and figure out ways to stop sex trafficking. This is not one of those ways. There's a guy named James Short in Lake Ozark, Missouri. And on Saturday night, he tried to rescue some sex trafficking victims he saw inside an adult store, except they weren't victims. They were mannequins.
What?
In lingerie. We've all seen these. Well, he saw them, thought they were real people in danger. He broke in. I guess he smashed the window, went in to save them, and the manager of the store was at a bar across the street. He saw him. He grabbed him, made a citizen's arrest till cops came. James was charged with property damage and burglary.
In the herd.
Lastly this morning, there's a 33-year-old guy named Alex Rawls who kicked in the door of an apartment in Michigan last Wednesday night. Apparently, he used to date someone who at one time lived in that apartment, but for whatever reason, he was on a rampage. Okay. Right? But he didn't expect what he found inside. Inside was a 36-year-old guy named Ben Ball who lives there, and he was sitting home playing video games, watching Rick and Morty at the time.
Okay.
Delightful.
And one of Ben's hobbies is medieval-style combat, He and his buddies make videos of themselves fighting, so we had plenty of weapons on hand. Ben grabbed a battle axe and chopped Alex in the chest with it.
What?
Right? He fought a little bit, but then Alex ran off a bloody mess. The cops tracked the blood and arrested him, but he had to go to the hospital first. He's been charged with first-degree home invasion and could get up to 20 years in prison.
In the herd.
The John DeBella Podcast.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
102.9.
Take cover!
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.